Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today is Thursday, the 25th of July, 2019. I'm Anita Riota, and I'm filling in for Justin as he enjoys some well-deserved time off. Joining me now on the podcast is a familiar voice, John Mayer, mining analyst at SP Angel. Thanks so much for making the time.
It's good to be here.
So to start us off, we wanted to talk a bit about gold. And, recently it's having a six-year high. And how could you tell us a bit about that in the relationship it's having with the anticipated rate cut from the Federal Reserve?
Well, that's a good place to start. Gold hit $1,425 yesterday. It's a very good price. And certainly it's bringing gold bars out of the woodwork again. The reason why the price has moved up there is anticipation of Fed rate cuts, and maybe a little bit of anticipation of more Fed rate cuts than are already anticipated. But then we've also got the political tension in the Straits of Hormuz with Iran entering a British registered oil tanker, and quite a lot of, shall we say, posturing and rhetoric going on between the US, Iran, and with the UK drawn into that as well. And then we've got a backdrop of trade war tariffs with Donald Trump sending his team back over to China next week to continue those trade negotiations and seeing what sort of deal they can get. And we do think that Trump, at the end of the day, is looking for a deal, but he is also looking for significant concessions out of the Chinese, for the Chinese to stop stealing intellectual data. I'm not sure they'll ever do that, but at least they might agree to stop doing it, and also to buy more American goods and help to offset the massive trade imbalance that's been going on between China and the US for some years. And this is very important, I think, for China to agree something. They've got quite a lot of trouble back home. Look at the problems in Hong Kong. Those protests are gathering. They're now calling for democracy. That is something the Chinese Communist Party are not going to like. But there's also problems in lots of other Chinese cities. There's a great deal of stress in the Chinese system right now. The trade war has clearly made life difficult for exporters to the US, and this is creating a great deal of tension. A lot of negative sentiment in China. So domestic demand in China is also falling. And that's a bit of a double whammy. So we think it's going to be very difficult for China to meet its global growth, its GDP targets, its industrial production targets. And life is tough for the leadership there.
Do you think that all this domestic turmoil in China, as you've been describing with the Hong Kong protests, do you think it might lead to a maybe more lenient position in trade war discussions? Not that Donald Trump is devoid of domestic issues to deal with, but do you think it has served as maybe a larger distraction than anticipated?
It's definitely a big distraction, and it's definitely pro-America in many respects. Although it has the potential to hurt both sides, it's still very good for quite a lot of U.S. manufacturers who are stepping into the hole left by the absence of imports from China. So it's not terrible for America. It looks bad for the rest of the economy. Europe is slowing down. Now, quite a lot of that, I think, is to do with concerns over Brexit. But also Europe is kind of being left behind in a lot of this. China will be pushing more and more of its exports towards Europe, and certainly pushing more into other Asian countries using its new Belt and Road infrastructure, which is still rolling out. And that's a very big thing. And, I mean, part of the problem between China and the US is that China had said they were going to stimulate domestic demand and really were too slow doing it. In fact, if anything, it appeared as if they weren't going to bother. Now they realize that America is serious and they have to get on with it. So what we're going to see in the short term with commodities is probably still a little bit more weakness, certainly some more weakness in iron ore prices, for example. Mm. So investors might want to look at lightening their holdings in Rio Tinto, and BHP. But we do think that the electric vehicle revolution is going to be much better for base metals. And we're all sitting around scratching our heads, wondering why the copper price isn't so high, is not so high. Other base metals prices not so high, particularly nickel. Nickel is a key metal when it comes to the next generation or the new generation of batteries that are being built in China starting now.
Mm. So actually, I want to pause on that for a moment. Wood Mackenzie came out with a report today, actually, saying that battery raw materials could face a supply crunch by mid-2020s. And specifically, they were looking at cobalt, lithium, and nickel. So obviously, this would have pretty massive repercussions for electric vehicles, as you know, you need the battery materials to test with. Do you see this as maybe having any longer term consequences for the uptake of electric vehicles? Is this a supply crunch of these important battery metals? Is that something you've seen at all?
I'm sure we'll see much more of this going forwards. At the moment, the whole supply chain is in a state of flux. The battery manufacturers have built these big factories, but we understand a lot of them are really only at half capacity. Now, I'm sure it's difficult to know exactly what that means. Does that mean that they've filled the massive buildings that they built with machinery, but they're not working at capacity yet? It takes a while to really get these things up and running. But what we see is the types of batteries that they're going to make, the nickel metal hydrides, the lithium ion cobalt, the different types of batteries are generally leaning towards more nickel content. Mm. Again, nickel is a great metal in this kind of environment for fuel cells, for battery technology. It always seems to be the current collector one way or another because it's a robust metal. It stands up to the acidic or alkaline environments that we see in these cells. So I think actually nickel is the unloved metal here, and then not an awful lot of ways of playing it, to be honest.
Mm. And if we start to see a shift from lithium-based batteries to nickel-based batteries, who do you think would stand to benefit the most, whether it's a region or specific companies? Who would really get the most advantage out of that sort of shift?
Well, these batteries still have lithium in them, but it's just that they have a greater nickel content. Mm. Beneficiaries here will be Glencore, Vale, believe it or not, although it's not a UK listed stock. BHP has a bit, and there will be some smaller players around. Horizonte Minerals has some projects in Brazil, but there aren't so many companies that you can get into for that. So we are looking out to try and find more nickel sulfide projects where one should be able to produce nickel hydroxide, which is one of the key products for one of the key ingredients for these factories. And if you're able to produce nickel hydroxide directly and, shall we say, more cheaply than many other people, then you'll have an immediate advantage.
Mm. And on a larger scale, to sort of tie in the two discussions we were having, so the EU recently threatened to double down on retaliatory tariffs against the US should they put any, you know, extra duties on EU cars and auto parts. Do you think that should this actually happen, is there going to be an effect on this raw metals market that we're discussing?
There would be some impact. I think a trade war between Europe and the US could be pretty awkward, particularly with Brexit going on in the background. And we know the US authorities are very keen to do a deal with the UK if it comes out of Europe. So this could leave German auto manufacturers in a bit of a difficult place, because the UK buys a lot more European cars, or, although we're a big exporter of cars into Europe for quite a number of manufacturers, we're a bigger market for these guys. So it would be a pretty difficult place for them, and they're going to either work very hard to find new markets to sell their cars into at a time when actually many consumers are just sitting on their hands and saying, well, I'm not going to buy anything until I'm feel a bit more confident and certain about the electric vehicle technology that's coming through, and I can work out where to recharge my vehicle and how long the batteries are going to last. And remember, electric vehicles are not cheap. They actually cost more to buy generally than the combustion equivalent.
Mm. And to bring all of this back into the AIM market, ARC Minerals today posted some news that has to do with these metals that we've been talking about. And I know that you have some insights into this. So could you tell me a bit about this news and maybe how it ties into this broader conversation?
Well, the one metal that everybody agrees on in the market is copper. Copper is going to see very significant additional demand for cabling for electric vehicles, for getting the power to your streets and getting the power into your vehicle. So there's going to have to be a lot of new copper cabling. And sadly, I think they're going to end up digging up our roads all over again, as they did with the rollout of fiber optic. And let's hope that won't be too disruptive. And ARC Minerals has reported today a spectacular drill result from its Shazaya East property in Zambia. And this is showing 4.15% copper over 7.6 meters. That's a good intersection. And that is a phenomenal copper grade. Normally, when we see these things coming through, we see 0.5% copper, maybe 1% copper if we're lucky. So for this to come through at 4% is extraordinary. And what it says to me is that the geology of the Congo, where we do see high-grade copper mines, and which is a difficult place to work in at the best of times, curves its way back down into Zambia. Mm. And I think what's happening here is ARC Minerals have picked up on a property that is just on that arcing, the Lifinlian arc, as it's called geologically. And they are drilling a property which is showing these very, very high grades. And that's fantastic news for them. This drill hole is 300 meters away from the last one, which was another 100 meters away from the one before that. So what we're seeing is a decent size of, I would say, consistent copper grades, but actually they're not consistent because this one is so much higher than the other ones, which were generally just over 1%. But it all looks very economic from this angle, and I'm really hopeful that this will turn into a meaningful discovery. And what that means for shareholders is that the market capitalization of £34 million today is likely to go up to something over £100 million. Wow. when this thing is better defined.
And I guess in the short term, what would you like to see from this project? What would be some positive signs that continue this narrative you've built?
All I want to see is more drilling, more definition of what they've got between the drill holes, more outlying drill holes, which I'm sure they're working on right now. I mean, this is not a deposit you would stop drilling by any means, because the results coming through are just too good. Mm. And the world is not seeing many discoveries like this. I mean, you've got SolGold out in Ecuador. And generally, their copper grades are a fraction of what we see here. I mean, it's a great deposit. It's huge. And they have a $3.5 billion capital plan to go with that. And they've spent many millions of dollars drilling that. But I think they must be quite envious of the grades that ARC Minerals are seeing. And what's so interesting is these grades are at surface, within 2 meters of surface. And today's grades were 39 meters down the hole. In mining terms, that's very close to surface. And what it means is economically, it should be really easy to extract.
Mm. And to zoom out, my last question, to zoom back out, could you tell our listeners, in the larger conversations we were having about battery raw materials, EVs, trade wars, what are maybe one or two things they should keep their eye on in the news regarding these more macro events?
Well, on the macro side, interest rate changes are critical. Mm. They drive a lot of things. The lower interest rates go, in the US, the weaker the dollar will get. The weaker the dollar gets, the stronger commodity prices will be generally.
Mm.
But you know, behind all that, I think this battery metals revolution is going to gain pace, and people should be looking at the key battery metals. And so we've mentioned copper and nickel, and let's not forget the rare earths. I mean, Donald Trump has recently invoked an old law to get the American people to pay for for the development of new rare earth supply outside China. So, I mean, anybody with a rare earth deposit, for example, Makango, Peak Resources, maybe Rainbow Rare Earths, although that's struggling a bit. These companies are well placed to be beneficiaries of this electric vehicle revolution and the need for new sources of rare earth minerals and specific key commodities.
Well, thank you so much again for taking the time to lend us your insights. It is always helpful. So thanks again.
You're welcome.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And now for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform. At number five, we have Accesso Technology Group, ticker ACSO. At number four, Greatland Gold, ticker GGP. And number three, Open Orphan, ticker ORPH. At number two, DevClever Holdings, the ticker is DEV. And at number one, we have Polarian Imaging, ticker POLX. And finally, for the top five most liked RNSs today on the Vox Markets platform. At number five, we have New River's Q1 Company Update, and the ticker there is NRR. And number four, we have Highlands Natural Resources Final Results, and their ticker is HNR. And number three, we have Union Jack and Oil, ticker UJO, with their West Newton Update. And number two, we have Greatland Gold, and the ticker there is GGP, with their results from Newcrest Drill Campaign at Haveron. And finally, at number one is Strategic Minerals, ticker SML, with their Redmore acquisition update. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.